Adobe has long had a significant footprint here in Utah and at Sundance. Here to talk about some of what Adobe is doing is Megan Keene, the Director of Product Marketing for Adobe Pro Video. Have I got that right?
That is right.
All right. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Roger.
So Adobe's got a big presence at this year's festival. Why does the company think that participating here in Sundance is important?
Yeah, you know, Adobe has a long-standing partnership with Sundance. We've been a partner of the festival for 15 years now. And really, our commitment to Sundance is about our commitment to the creatives, to the independent filmmakers who are here, part of the festival, but really about the diversity of stories that they're telling and the way that they're really helping the rest of the world look at the world through this creative lens.
So not only you also have a physical presence this year. What is the Adobe House?
Yes.
What is it?
Yes. So the Adobe House is right on Main Street, and it's really our love letter to filmmaking. It celebrates all of the different teams and collaborators that come together to make a film. Mm-hmm. So as you move through our space, you'll see the wardrobe department or craft services or the set or, you know, art department are sort of how we're branding different areas of the space. But really, it's what we want the Adobe House to be is just this warm community hug where people can come and see filmmaker panels, conversations between filmmakers, talking about really like what are the main topics in the industry, but also things like the anatomy of a film, like how does a film come together? Creative collaboration, how do filmmakers work together? Because so much of filmmaking really is about collaboration and community. And then there's also, of course, some opportunities to get some fun swag.
I was going to say, there had to be swag.
And demos of our newest technology in Premiere, After Effects, Frame.io, Firefly. So there's all sorts of things to do at the house and a little something for everyone.
And is it open to the public?
So it is open to the public. All you have to do is register. So you have to have put in to say, like, I'd like to access the space so that we just sort of have, you know, a handle on who's coming in.
And when you say register, is that register through an Adobe site or through a Sundance?
Yeah, so it's sundance.adobe.com. And yeah, anybody can register to get in.
And is the programming that you've mentioned, the panels, is that stuff programmed through Sundance or is that on your Adobe site?
So we have programming both from Adobe. We have programming that's Adobe partnership with Variety. And we also have programming that's happening at the Filmmaker Lodge that is part of the core Sundance programming.
Okay. So in order to find out more about this, which website should I be looking
at? Sundance.adobe.com. We have all of that information
Perfect.
There. Yeah.
And are you running the Adobe House the entire Sundance all next week?
Good question. Today we open and it's through the 26th.
Oh, that's today.
Yes.
Okay. So I know another thing that's going on is that Adobe is making some significant grants to filmmakers. Can you tell me about that program?
Yes. So I love this program. We launched the Adobe Film and TV Fund 2 years ago, and we started with a commitment of $6 million to really support next-gen emerging filmmakers from underrepresented communities. And that's support, financial support, mentorship support, technology support. This year, we've actually increased that commitment to $10 million. And that's in partnership with organizations like Ride Back Rise, Highway Labs, DIMS Inc. Academy, and also with the Sundance Ignite program. So Sundance Ignite and Adobe partner to support next-gen filmmakers 18 to 25 from underrepresented communities through a fellowship throughout the year as well. I actually had the opportunity to have dinner with some of the Ride Back Rise fellows last night, and it's just like so interesting to hear their stories, to hear the films that they're developing. But also, you know, I love connecting them with our workflow experts, because so often filmmakers work so hard on their script, work so hard on their film, and then they get to the post-production and they're like, ooh, I didn't think about post. And so that's where Adobe can really come in and help them think about how do I plan my production to make sure that I'm successful in post-production.
So for many people, the word Adobe, they think of it as PDFs, right? I mean, you know, the non-people in the industry. But I know that we're recording this interview on an Adobe product and that Adobe products are found throughout the film and entertainment industry. Let's talk a little bit about what you offer from a technology support perspective to independent filmmakers.
Yes. Honestly, Adobe products are used throughout the filmmaking process. So oftentimes people, when they think about filmmaking, they think about, of course, Premiere and After Effects, you know, editing software, motion graphics software. But when you look at the films across Sundance, it's also Photoshop, it's Illustrator. You know, every film has to have a promotional poster. They have to have social assets using, you know, Adobe Express. They have to have all of these things that come into the filmmaking process that aren't just about making the film. Of course, making the film is the biggest job. And we're really proud that 85% of films in the festival this year are using Adobe Creative Tools in that filmmaking process.
Let's break it down a little bit. What is Creative Cloud?
So Creative Cloud is the group of creative apps where with one subscription, you can access everything from Premiere and After Effects to Photoshop to InDesign to Illustrator to Express. It's all of the different creative tools that you might want or need for any sort of creative endeavor. So we really talk about really empowering every creative to come and tell their story. And with Creative Cloud, you can access any and all of those applications that are needed for anything that you'd want to create. And specifically in video, we are seeing more and more creatives across other disciplines, designers, photographers, looking, even, you know, podcasters, people who have traditionally been audio only are now looking at how do I add video into what I'm doing? Because so much of the creative community is built online, on social platforms, on YouTube, on Instagram, TikTok, you know, that's how people are sharing their creative output. And so more and more creative people are trying to get into video and understand video, which we love because we have, you know, users from across every type of video that's being created, whether it's feature film, television, to YouTube, to commercials, music videos. So we have that sort of knowledge of video creation that we can bring to any sort of creative who is trying to create video.
I'm dreading the day they make us go to video, Kevin.
Yeah. we're gonna.
It's in our future.
It's going to be so easy, Roger. Okay. You're just going to set up a camera. You'll have automatic captioning in Premiere.
And we have to comb our hair in the morning.
I want to talk about, I guess no conversation about any technology these days avoids the topic of artificial intelligence. And in the entertainment industry in particular, I think there's a lot of fear about what artificial intelligence could mean to the creatives. Talk to us a little bit about how Adobe is working with both small and large players in the industry to deal with artificial intelligence.
Yes. This is a conversation that I personally have been participating in for the last few years, and it's evolved. It's evolved over time. You are right. There are some people who have fear, anxiety. They're not sure, you know, how to feel about it. Really, we've seen a lot of evolution of this conversation into more like, I'm interested. I can understand how it might benefit me. For Adobe, we really are connected to this idea of AI is not about replacing human creativity, it's about empowering human creativity. And the way that we're looking at that is, how do we look at the pain points that are involved in being a creative? Technology, although it's really opened the doors to creativity, it's also created some friction, you know, things where creative people are like, I just want to get in that creative flow. I don't want to have to think about the technology. And that's actually an opportunity for AI. So if you think about things like in Premiere recently, we released a feature called Generative Extend. And that's like, if you have an edit and for some reason your cameraman clicked that off button a little too early and you need just a few more frames to make that edit flow properly. With Gen Extend, you can pull out your clip just a few seconds, just a few frames to really smooth out that edit. It's so interesting when I'm talking to filmmakers because often I will have these conversations where they're going on and on about, I love speech to text. Oh, you know, automatic transcription has really helped me. Auto translation has really opened up new audiences internationally for me. On and on. And then we ask, you know, so how are you feeling about the AI? And they say, oh, we're not really using AI. Yeah. And I'm like, wait a minute, you just said that you're using all of these features. Because as soon as it's answering a pain point, as soon as it's helping my creativity and it's helping the tech get out of the way, creatives aren't thinking about it as AI or not AI anymore. It's, oh, it's really helping me be creative. So the way that the conversation has evolved recently is creatives are really interested about A, how Adobe is approaching AI and the development of our models through this commercially safe with respect to the creative, you know, making sure that the creative is at the forefront of this, but also how we're integrating it into the products so it's right there at their fingertips, so they're not having to go all over the place, jump to different sites, different models, and how can they just find it within their creative workflow. So that's really resonating. That's more with the individuals, the end users. Now, when it comes to the media and entertainment companies, enterprises, studios, they are really looking to Adobe because of our commercially safe approach and because they know that we are doing this in a way that is safe and secure for them. So we've recently started talking about Adobe Firefly Foundry, which is our partnership with media and entertainment companies to develop models through their IP. So it's a protected model within their organization based on their IP that they can have, you know, safety, security, confidence that it is commercially safe and secure within the walls of their organization.
And what does that do exactly for them?
Well, it opens up their ability to start considering, you know, letting their end users, their creatives within their organizations leverage AI in a way that they've had some legal concerns or, you know, security concerns previously because they just didn't know, like, we don't want to be at the mercy of, you know, oh, well, that model wasn't trained properly and now, you know, you've infringed on, you know, a creative's IP or, you know, so it's really about the media and entertainment companies wanting to protect themselves and make sure that they're doing it the right way.
And you use the term generative AI. Mm-hmm. And I think for some who follow this closely, that has a clear meaning. What does it mean?
Yeah. We think about AI. It's so interesting. As I keep saying, the conversation keeps evolving because initially it was machine learning and AI.
Right.
Then it was, now we've started talking about assistive AI versus generative AI. Assistive being, you know, it is removing pain points. It's eliminating the tedium. It's leveraging AI to get the tech out of the way. Generative AI is also that. It removes a lot of tedium pain points, but it's about creating something new. Net new waveforms, net new pixels based on prompts or, you know, you submit a reference image and you say, can create something from this reference image to that reference image. And so generative is about net new pixels, where assistive is more surfacing AI models to do something like create an auto transcription or, you know, create auto translation, things like that, that are working off of media pixels, waveforms that already exist.
Sort of quasi mechanical, for lack of a better term.
Correct. Yeah. Okay. So things like in Adobe Premiere, things like enhanced speech or speech to text, auto reframe, where you can, you know, reframe a video from a 16:9 to a square for social, or et cetera, et cetera. Those are all assistive AI features. Things like generative extend or generative fill in Photoshop, those are, of course, our generative features. And what's really fun for us on the product side is Firefly is really sort of this playground of different models, different concepts within generative. What if we could do, and all these different models that we're surfacing on Firefly, on the product side, we're able to look at those and say, okay, what could best serve our customers? And we really do put a lot of effort in connecting with the community. We host community summits, community conversations all throughout the year to really understand what do you want in product and what do you want to stay on Firefly. That's something you can go and access and play with and surface. But now we're surfacing integrations. Like, there is a really fun playground within Firefly called Firefly Boards. And Firefly Boards is like a mood board where you can generate visuals, whether they're still images or videos, and you can move them around, position them in ways that are very common within the creative industry, but in a digital format, right? So it's Firefly Boards now has an integration directly into Premiere. So you can access, you can play around, you can visualize, you can mood board, and then you can say, okay, let me access these clips that I've created right inside of Premiere.
Now, for our listeners who are intrigued by this and want to really get a better sense of how it works, is there a website they can look at? Is this stuff that you're going to have at the Adobe House that they can actually demonstrate it?
Yes. So if you're here in Park City, you can absolutely come into the Adobe House, and we have all of this demo. We have product experts, not only demo artists. A lot of people are very shocked sometimes that, like, it's literally our engineers and product managers who are standing talking, workflow experts, talking to people as they come through the Adobe House. If you're not in Park City, you can check out a lot of what I'm talking about with Firefly on firefly.adobe.com, or on adobe.com, you can learn more about new updates to Premiere and After Effects. I would be remiss not to talk about something that I'm very excited about for AI that we just released this week in Premiere, which is AI Object Mask. So masking inside of a video tool is a very common use case where you're having to, like, you know, draw a line around something to either do some color correction, you want to put some graphics behind something. It's always been a very tedious task. Rotoscoping, people are very, you know, familiar with. Often people would have to go to After Effects in order to do that, which feels a little daunting to people, I'm going to admit. Now with AI Object Mask, you literally just hover your cursor over a frame of video and it pops into different things to say, like, oh,
do you want this? Do you want that?
Do you want to mask this? Do you want to mask that? It gives a little sort of red hue, or you can choose green, blue, whatever, and you just click on it and a mask is created. And then you can track that mask throughout the motion of the video.
So can it remove a cigarette and cigarette smoke?
Good question. Object removal is something that we are exploring. It's not yet anything that's available, but really masking is opening up the potential for a lot of other functionality, whether it's color correction, working with effects, graphics. It's a really exciting. And what's so interesting is this is a feature that's been in our beta. People have been able to access it. When we announced that it was going into general release this week, people were literally DMing me saying, like, oh my gosh, I'm running to update, which is not always the case. Like, people are so excited about this feature because it removes this really time-consuming function for video editing that people are just not, it's not a fun thing to do. It's not a creative thing to do. And so it's really giving the opportunity for people to stay in that creative flow, stay in that storytelling mode, and not have to worry about the tech.
Now, I imagine with the changes, the rapid changes in AI, Firefly is going to be completely different a year from now than it is today.
I mean, if you look back to what Firefly was last year, 2 years, like, it is, the acceleration of this is like mind-boggling. What's so fun at Adobe is we have hundreds of researchers who are working on this what ifs of of, you know, what could we do? And it's so interesting to see that interaction between the product teams, the researchers, the community, to see, like, this wide open space of what could we accomplish becomes a really, like, positive, creative endeavor and removes a lot of this anxiety and fear.
Now, I know online you'll see a lot of completely generated videos. And I now can identify it. It used to be if they had six fingers, you're like, oh, that's AI. But now they know that people have five. Is Adobe doing any of that?
So Firefly does have video generation capabilities. And we have a lot of filmmakers who are completely generative artists. Right. I honestly, like, when I think about our industry, I think about generative video as a new form of video and not a replacement to what filmmaking and video creation has been. I think it's additive. It's not a replacement of.
Well, what a great way to sell your script. You know, instead of shooting the a spec script, you can just do it all on your computer and say, this is kind of what it's going to be. Here's the story. Obviously, we'll have real actors and real locations and not.
Especially in the world of independent film, where budgets are so small. Yeah. And, you know, we're hearing a lot from independent filmmakers that it's an easy way to communicate creative intent. Yeah. So you say, you know, you can explain to your cinematographer what you want something to look like, or you can explain to your VFX artist or your graphics artist what you want something. You can do a rough drawing depending on how good you are at drawing. But when you can really generate something to show your creative intent, this is kind of what we're going for.
Yeah.
You get a lot further into that creative execution without that back and forth that's so time consuming and money consuming.
And money consuming, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah. But you are missing the one of the creative aspects of it. You're missing the actor coming up with whatever, you know, whatever they're going to come up with, or the, but yeah, just, I mean,
well,
the
actually, one of the really fun, I mean, you bring up sound, one of the really fun models on Firefly right now is generative sound effects.
Oh.
Because oftentimes with sound effects, you know, let's say you have somebody walking through a forest, right? And they're stepping on crunchy leaves, stepping on crunchy leaves. Well, if you think about that from a sound design perspective, you have to individually edit every footfall. And right? With generative sound effects, you can watch the video and literally with your voice go crunch, 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 and then type in a prompt that says footsteps on crunchy leaves, and it's timed right to the video, or, you know, the emotional intonation of something that you can't really get with, you know, stock sound effects.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
That makes me want to learn to edit movies.
It makes me want to throw some sound effects into the show. You know, sipping coffee sounds and...
I think they hear that already.
Yeah, exactly. So how many films are in Sundance right now that have used some aspect of Adobe products?
Yeah, so 85% of the films in the festival this year have used Adobe Creative Tools. A huge percentage have their primary editing platform is Premiere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very lucky because I actually come from a background of documentary filmmaking. And so I get to interview a lot of the filmmakers, host the panels and things. So I'm really excited because last year I got to talk to the filmmakers behind Train Dreams now nominated for the Academy Award. Perfect Neighbor, also nominated for Academy Award. But at this year's festival, we're getting to talk to filmmakers across films like The Undone, Time and Water, that just films across all of the different categories, Chasing Summer, all sorts of different interesting films from narrative to documentary to horror to some of the really interesting films that are doing this sort of in between a documentary and a fiction film, one called Union County that's half documentary and half fiction. That's really interesting. I got to see a screener.
Nice.
So I'm very excited about some of the different filmmaker conversations that we get to have this week.
We've been talking with Megan Keene, the director of product marketing for Adobe ProVideo. Megan, thanks for spending so much time with us this morning.
Thank you for having me, guys.
We'll be right back after this.